Blog Talk Radio.
Why, hello there, and welcome.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of PWA Scoop Slam Radio. This is your host, Big Mike, and I have my co-host, who I'm very upset with right now, Lance the Bully Winters. Lance, what's going on?
How's it going, man? I'm just doing the J-O-B to the, you know, every day, all day. How you doing, man? How you been?
Ooh, we got a lot to talk
about.
I'm glad
to hear you've been doing good, man. I'm glad you're doing good. I'm glad you're happy. Glad you're in good spirits, because that's the kind of energy we're going to be rolling with all night, right?
And sitting in for Rudo Ram, who I have issues with as well, is my player here, my partner, my man from back in the day, Fozzy Chulo. Fozzy, what's going on with you, man?
I'm good. I should be getting paid extra just to pick up Rudo Ram and take him to the venue and take him afterwards, because I didn't get home till like midnight after the show because he wanted to go eat and go do all this stuff or whatever. It was a crazy night. I mean, I don't think, Mike, you've had one show that hasn't been crazy, because this was the first time I actually went to the show and helped out, worked in the back, and they worked in the office that was provided for the Pacific Wrestling Alliance. And it was, dude, it's a lot of work, bro.
It is. It's a lot of sweat and a lot of, I won't say stress.
Pressure.
It's not really stress. You said what?
I was going to say pressure. You know, you got to be on top. You got to be on point. You got to make that three count count, you know. So I was just saying pressure is probably a key word that we feel here at Scoop Slam. As a family, as a unit, you know, not just me. We'll get into that later. Anyways.
Okay. I got to get this off my chest. Lance, what you pulled on the 18th, I'm still stunned what you did. I can't
believe. I know. I reffed all the matches. I did it all with no breaks. Usually when you have that many matches, you have two referees so they can jump in and help each other out. But I wasn't gassed. I was ready to go, and I loved it, man. I was very grateful for the opportunity, so thanks once again, you know. Yeah, I'm stunned too. Like, I did a hell of a great job for my first run.
Well,
right?
Can I say something real quick? Intermission hit, right? It seemed like a big blur, but first of all, props to Jermaine Busby for putting the music on, because I was upstairs just going to work, man, because he was playing stuff that I heard and learned. Like the stuff Mike and I listen to when we go to the meetings over at Local Grind.
Local Grind.
But
yeah.
Lance comes. First of all, you got to understand, I can't come down because I can't get back up those steps. It's about, I'm going to say, a good 60 steps to get up there or whatever. It's nice because you have a view over the top, but to get up and down, so I can't. So I see Lance coming up at intermission, and he is just a big ball of sweat. I mean, Lance, you must have dropped a good 40 pounds just on that night alone, huh?
Yes, sir. It was pretty intense, to say the least.
Lance was chugging a big, maybe that was a, what was that, 2 gallon bottle of water you were drinking? Lance?
Yes, sir. I got 1 gallon, and then I got another gallon, because I was sweating mountains over there. To give it up to all the refs and all the people that do that work in the business, like, yeah, it's sweaty, it's hot, it's a lot, you know. So I'm just glad I was able to do my part. Like I said, I think I did a phenomenal job, you know, doing every match and being as professional as I was, you know, like the best man out there. I don't think you could have found a better ref that night.
Okay. Well, let me first say, Lance, thank you for reffing Friday night, stepping in when you – in an emergency. I appreciate you doing all that. But what do you have to say for yourself for what you did in that main event?
Well, you want to be a little more specific? Because the main event was pretty big.
I don't need to be specific. Everybody knows what you did at the end of that main event. What made you do that? Why did you do that?
He's got balls.
How did you
he's
do
got
that?
Balls.
Okay. Okay.
He's got balls.
It's been about a good 5 minutes, and I figured I was going to only have 2 good minutes before we got into this. So I'm glad I had that extra 3 minutes to get that thank you, good job, pat on the back. But if we're going to really, if you're ready to cut into brass tacks, we can cut into brass tacks. So everybody knows what happened in the main event. Venom won. He beat AJ Mana. He's the new guy up. He's up there. AJ's down there. And, you know, it could have been either way. It could have been another way because both these wrestlers are extremely talented, super strong, super tough, and they gave it their all in the ring that night. But at the end of the day, I was still disrespected by AJ Mana. You guys were there at Meet and Vino. You guys weren't, but, you know, Michael and Rudo Ram was there. You know, so I wish Rudo was here. He'd be advocating for me just like I'd advocate for him and what happened with his nonsense. But listen here. That man had dues to pay. And I'm not talking about in the business. I'm not talking about in his personal life, but he had dues to pay with me. Now, I try the whole show to be as professional as I could. I cut it down the middle. I let the people win that needed to win. I did the 1-2-3. But when it came to AJ Mana, when I was looking him in the eye, giving him the 3 count, it just felt wrong, man, you know? It felt wrong when someone does you wrong and you got to do right by them, you know? So I took it upon myself to not count to 3. I took it upon myself to holler in his face. And, I took it upon myself to negate that 3 count. I feel like when I was on my knees about to get assaulted by that man again, because, you know, being thrown with water is assault nowadays. You can go to the police for that. But when he was looking at me ready to assault me again in the ring, I had to be a man. I had to stand up for myself, you know. And I'm not a wrestler. This is a disclaimer. I'm not a wrestler. I'm not in the business like that. I don't get physical. But I had to defend myself the only way I knew how. So I hit him with a low blow. Right there and no one's looking. Then you got Venom comes in, hits him with a super slam. And I counted the 1-2-3 like my job entails me to do. So I feel like all this is being blown out of proportion, to be honest. I feel like I did the least wrong that I could. You know, I could have set up a plastic table and gave him the old neck treatment I got a couple months ago. But, you know, I thought it was just my best judgment. I just, you know, when you're in that state of mind, when you're going through all those emotions, it's hard to think and it's easy to act. So I did what I did and I acted. I acted out of rage. I acted out of spite. I hit him with a low blow. And I came up and I gave my boy the 1-2-3 because, you know what, at the end of the day, whether I'm a referee, whether I'm a gear boy, whether I'm a commentary, whether I'm doing any other parts of the business, at the end of the day, I'm still a man. And as a man, as a petty man, I had to do what I felt was best for myself, and that was to get some little payback on AJ Mott.
I'll speak for my
defeaters.
Was
it wrong, maybe?
If you have clues and evidence, if you will, if you have...
So you got to have clues and evidence. Because from what I saw...
And that's very true. There was clues, there's evidence. You guys should have seen it a mile away when he disrespected me at Meet and Vino's and when there was no compensation for my $3,000 suit that had to get premium pressed and cleaned. There was no repercussions for that. So I had to do what was best for my interest, and that was to make sure this man, AJ, does not proceed to go any further in PWA.
But Mike, I don't know if Lance threw a monkey wrench in your plans or whatever, because this, you know, you're able to see the ring, although it's like a bird's eye view or whatever. I watched most of the matches, but that match in particular I watched, and it completely caught me off guard because it went 1-2 and then he looked AJ Mana right in the eye and said, "Remember meeting Vino?" and walked, and I went, "Oh, holy shit!" and whatever. So, regardless of whatever happens from here on out, or what happened between them, because I went back to the office, he had the guts to actually do it, which I really, honestly, didn't think he was going to be able to do. So, does that throw a whole monkey wrench in the whole game plan, Mike, or what? Sorry, I just had to put
it
that
doesn't.
In.
It doesn't. No, it doesn't. But I just, Lance, we're going to come back to this because right now we're going to recap the entire card. And when we come to the main event, We'll talk about the main event, and then I'll ask you some
questions. You sound like my dad. You want to give me the punishment, but you're going to stretch it out to the end of the night. Like, if you're just going to hit me with the chancla, just get it over with. But let's go through the card.
Let me take a quick break so I can reset, and then we'll come back and we'll start from the bottom. How's that?
Got it.
Okay, hang on, everybody. That sounded like Lance right there after he made the three count. He went, 1, 2, and then he looked at AJ and went. Go ahead.
I should not laugh at that, but that's funny. That's funny as hell. Anyway, let's kick this off with the first match of the night. It pitted Vince Peru versus Louis Alfaro. Let's go around the horn. Lance, you were in the ring with these guys. What did you think about that match?
I thought it was intense. It was my first time in the ring, my first time refereeing, so I had to keep my eyes everywhere, man. You know, these two guys were going at it. And once, you know, near the end of the match, the flag was introduced. I knew my job. I did my job. I got that flag out of there. Made sure nobody used it to swing at each other, to choke on each other. So again, Mr. Parks, I believe I did a very good job as a referee. I kept the foreign objects out of the ring. I let the men, I let the men do their work, and I counted to 3.
Lance, that's my statement. Please, quit patting yourself on the back. You had a job to do when you did it, and I'm very happy that you did it. But please, quit patting yourself on the back. Jeez, sir, I can't believe. Oh. Savi, you were there. What did you think about that first match?
You know, and Lance was actually with me because when we got there, first of all, it took us forever to get there because Lulu Ram wanted to stop and get beer and he wanted to get chewing tobacco and he wanted to get all this crap or whatever. So we got, and I apologize, Mike, because I should have left a little bit earlier to get there on, you know, at the right time or whatever. But it's not me, it's Lulu Ram, because the man is legit crazy. But Lance and I were talking. And Lance, you can vouch for this. Louis Alfaro walked in, and I thought it was the second coming of Saturday Night Fever. That dude walked in with a silk button-down shirt with the Trans Am emblem on the back, with a pair of brown Haggar double knit slacks and some jelly bottom shoes. Dude, Lance, did he not walk? And did I not say, dude, that's the look right there. That's, you should be wrestling exactly like that, right, Lance?
Yes, sir. He was, as Rudo Ram would say, muy suavecito. You know, he was doing his thing, and I later found out it was his birthday, so that must have been the cherry on top to walk in. Yeah, walk in all dressed up, put the paws on, you know, Prince Puviano, and then, you know, continue to do his business. Like you said, he probably went out to the club, probably met a lot of ladies. He looked so fresh, so clean. I think he won the drip contest of the week.
Apparently, yeah, we were missing something. Either he went out before the matches or after the matches, but he came in, and I thought he looked like a cross between Saturday Night Fever and Scarface. Like, that's what because it looked like he was going to come in and go, hey, there's two guys waiting for you, man, so we got a lot of work to do, so come on, sir. And then, so he's like, oh, man, okay, whatever. So then I walk into the dressing room, the heel dressing room, the Rudos or whatever, and I see Príncipe Perú. And, dude, and you, again, you can ask Lance, this dude had on a pair, and this is the God's honest truth, Yogi Bear socks. Lance?
Cut it off.
Yes. He brought them back.
He did.
He brought back the
So, from the first...
That's luxury right there.
From the beginning, dude, it was just straight. Dude, what's up with the Yogi Bear socks or whatever? And he said, you know, you don't disrespect me. I'm Peruano, and I know this. I'm not disrespecting you. Is your manager going to be Boo Boo Bear, or what's going on? whatever. But so that's how it started off. So that put them two in a bad mood, which I honestly think got them going. Because when the few parts of the match that I saw, dude, I saw some big time hip toss, you know, some big shoulder tackles, and you could really tell that those two wanted to impress Mike, you know, to take them to the next level. So it was a good way to start off the match, to start off the night, Mike. I thought that was really good. Whoever's helping you book must be a goddamn genius. Go ahead.
Hey, you know what? I enjoyed the match, but you got me stuck telling me that Louis was wearing some jellies. I didn't see the jelly, dog. You should have poisoned him out. But then again, no, you shouldn't have, because I would have said something.
I didn't, you know, since all the stuff went on after the match, and after the main event, I don't want to pull the curtain back too much, and we'll get to that. I'm sure we will. But I seriously wanted to talk to you and go, dude, I see something in Louis. Like, if we put a burgundy members only jacket with some white baggies, you know what I'm saying, and some karate, and maybe get him a perm, like a full blown perm so that it could hang, and maybe put some Stay Soft or something in it. I seriously think that would do. Please tell me I'm not wrong.
Man, ladies and gentlemen, the comments made by Fabi Chulo do not and will not mean that they come from PWA officials or anyone that works with the company. They are Fabi Chulos and Fabi Chulos alone.
Well, dude, Rudo Ram will be here next week, so, you know, I'm like, dude, you had one match, and he's like, yeah, I know, but I got to take a week off, man, because, you know, I got to reset and get my, I'm like, dude, you're going with that. But he said, can you come for me? And I'm like, oh, I'm on the fence. And he said, I'll tell you what, all-you-can-eat buffet, Korean barbecue, let's do it. I'm like, bam, I'm there. So just be prepared, because he'll be back next week. So go ahead, Mike. I thought it was a good match, though, got to be honest.
I did, too, except when Prince Ifeu came out. I mean, he was acting a little bit like a crybaby at the end, though.
Yeah.
You know, he was mad because everybody didn't stand when they played the national anthem of Peru, and he was just all upset. And it's like, get over yourself, bro.
Yeah.
Get over yourself.
Yeah, this is America, unfortunately, now, where we don't even do that for our own national anthem. So he was expecting a lot out of the crowd.
No doubt.
So let's go to the second match, which pitted our buddy Rudo Ram and Azriel versus Kayem and JBD. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I was looking forward to seeing Azriel, JBD, and Kayem. But Rudo Ram, was it the beginning or the end of the match, started dancing. He was dancing. And I will lie, he was getting down, but I'm like, what is this man doing?
He told me, like, he goes, on the way home, he goes, hey, dude, who was the DJ or whatever? And I'm like, that's Jermaine. I go, Mike and I have known him for a long time or whatever. He goes, dude, make sure that dude's there every show. He goes, I haven't heard songs like that in ages. He goes, and it just hit. He goes, it just hit. He goes, I wanted to do the Running Man, but, you know, my left hip, I got it replaced or whatever. He goes, so I couldn't hit it the way I wanted to. He goes, but, dude, I didn't even want to go back in the dressing room, bro. He goes, I just wanted to stay there and listen to the music. I go, dude, well, what about the Tucanes? And he goes, man, Tucanes, a mi madre way. He goes, let's just keep going with this. So props to Jermaine for put, because I think, was that match right before intermission? I can't remember. No, I think Rickster and them were after that. But so I could hear the music, and it was slamming. So, but there was two people that were sitting in the front that were just, it was an Asian dude with a big belly. And then I don't know if the girl that was with him was Mexican or whatever. But, dude, they were popping for the hip toss. I mean, they were just like, no, dude, like he could do no wrong. But from upstairs, you know, I was upstairs looking. First of all, I go up there to go check it out. And then, Lance, was it you that told me not to go on the right side because the thing might cave in?
Yeah, so there's a little bit of there's softness in the construction of that site. It's only due to natural causes. You know, people bump up there, people run around, they do MMA up there. So the right side of the overhang, I guess you would call it, It was falling off. So if you lean a little too hard, you could be a surprise entrant in the match. Let's just say that.
He grabs me. Don't go over there. I go, what's going on? What happened? He goes, no, dude, something's broken over there. He goes, you're going to fall over the top, and you'll miss the ring. You'll go right into the waist. All right, cool. So anyways, I go to the left side, and I was watching from the left side. And I don't know what happened, but Rudo Ram went to splash. It was either Kayama or JBD that was covering Azrael, and then he moved out of the way. So Rudo Ram was covering both of them. Oh, yeah, JBD and Azrael. So Kayama goes and hits it senton, and I could hear every bone or vertebrae or whatever. I could hear it. I'll go, hush, like when you go to the chiropractor. And I go, holy shit. I go, he's paralyzed. I swear to God. And all that. And I go, he don't have Mexican insurance or whatever. So he hit him so hard and broke or cracked his back that they got the three count because he wasn't expecting it, I guess, or whatever. So when he must have been better because he was trying to do the running man and stuff. So when he comes up, I go, dude, I go, are you okay? I go, I can hear every vertebrae crack. Or he goes, nah, as a matter of fact, I feel better. He goes, I think they straightened me out. So, hey, man, even though they took the loss, Rudo Ram says his back got straightened out or whatever, doesn't need the chiropractor, so everybody goes home happy. Right, Lance?
Yes, and like I said, it was my second match ever as a referee, and that did not sound like wood cracking or the board, you know, under the ring. That sounded like bone was crunching, and I'm really glad I didn't have to throw the X up on that match because that would have been my first time. I would have been nervous wreck. But, yeah, Rudo Ram, he took a beat, and then he'll be back. I know he'll be back. That's my boy right there. That's my dog. That's my partner here in this Tuesday specials, you know what I'm saying? But all the best luck to his healing recovery. I know he's out there eating right now, having a good old time, having a couple of brews. Have one for me if you're listening, man. But, damn, Rudo Ram can take a beating.
He texted me earlier and goes, hey, bro, I'm in Rosarito or whatever. I go, what are you doing over there? He goes, oh, I came to eat lobster. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, let me, before we get into the next match or whatever, let me ask one question to both of you guys. For a lobster tail and I think you said 6-ounce sirloin steak or whatever in Rosarito, how much you think it cost?
$24.
Pff, not even close.
Are you going up or down?
15.
Yeah.
15.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Take a shot. Take a stab.
Well, I'm going to hit it right in the middle and say like $17.95.
Man, you guys are so far off. So far off. $14 American. Because the dollar is 11. The dollar is 11 to 1 out there. $14, he said, was the whole bill or whatever. So that, dude, you know, I don't go down there because I value my life or whatever, but I'm having a second thought because if you $14 for lobster tail and a 6-ounce sirloin and who knows how many beers he drank or whatever, but for $14, I mean, I'm a Mike. Could you and I, you know, okay, Lance, I don't know, he's still a new player in the game and he hasn't been able to, he hasn't paid his dues as far as that goes, but I think you and I could do damage alone, just you and I going, you know what I'm saying?
You know what? I believe we can. I went down there on Super Bowl Sunday when Tampa Bay played Kansas City. And, bro, let me tell you something. They saw me and they were just like,
uh-oh, no professionals.
That's a big boy.
That was, Lance,
that's a big boy.
He's lying, Lance. That was back in the day when Roger Staubach was playing in the Super Bowl with the Cowboys. He's trying not to date himself. And Fred Biletnikoff and Ken Stabler were playing for the Raiders back then. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Wow. No. He don't even know the names you just said.
Shoot, man. You know what? I'm sorry, man. I got to reset real quick again. I hit the wrong button. Take another quick break, okay? Let me just reset real quick, Mike, and we'll come back and we'll get to Rickster against Legacy. Hang on.
Why, hello there, and welcome.
Soundstripe.
although I'm getting acclimated now finally because I moved everything to where I wanted. Watch when Rudo Ram comes back next week. He's going to go, what the hell, man? But I hit the wrong button, and I made the screen go so far big that I couldn't see the stuff on the right side. So I had to reset it. So sorry about that, Mike. But real quick, before we get to the Rickster and Legacy match, which was, by the way, fantastic. I knew it was going to deliver, and it actually did. But, Mike, we got to give props to Local Grind, man. I mean, it was funny because the girl came out and she's like, hey, bro, I know you guys were wrestlers. And we're like, dude, we need to come and do a live broadcast and stuff like that. She's like, absolutely, man. So it's cool. And this is, Mike, I'm sorry. This is in no way any sort of racial overtones or anything like that. But for some reason, when Mike is with me and we go meet over there, dude, they start playing the Whispers. They started playing what else did they? The Ohio Players and stuff like that. And which is smart because we actually end up staying. We stayed till they closed yesterday. You know, Mike?
Yeah, we did. And I don't think they do that just because it's me.
I think they do that.
No, man, no. I mean, they even played the Soul Train thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Last couple times we were there, so
don't take Rudo Ram up there, dude.
Youngster.
Do not take Rudo Ram up there. He will make an ass out of himself, and then they will never be allowed back.
Yes, he's not allowed to go. unless Lance is babysitting.
Exactly.
Babysitting. You mean hanging out?
Well, for
he's
some reason,
he's a grown man.
For some reason, he's a little more mellow. When Lance is around, I don't know, I think maybe he sees the maturity in Lance or something, but he's a lot more mellow when Lance is around. So, Lance, we'll take it too, bro. Don't even worry about it. I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead. Rickster and Legacy.
This match was a match and a half. It was one of the most exciting matches that I've seen on the independents in a long time. And it was a match that we really wanted to put together, and I'm so glad that we made it happen because they both went above and beyond, and it was just an awesome match. Lance, how was it being in that ring with them?
Being in the ring with them, that was, right before the mission. That's when I started sweating. That's when you guys noticed I went upstairs because these guys were moving so fast, it was hard to keep an eye on them. I was dropping down, counting, jumping back up, dropping back down, counting, jumping back up. These guys are going back to back, move for move. And it's really impressive because Rickster has been in the game for a couple of years, and he was able to keep up and even outshow Legacy in a couple of spots. So I definitely agree. It was one of the matches of the night. It was high impact. The crowd was awake for that. They were ready for that action. And people still want to say I made the wrong call when I counted three count. I didn't see anything. I saw Rickster on his back, shoulders to the mat, and I did 1, 2, 3. Afterwards, the crowd was yelling at me, hollering me all over my face, saying, hey, he had his foot on the ropes, or hey, this and that and the third. And I said, hey, man, I got to go get some water. I'll talk to you guys later, and then I never talked to the crowd again.
Yeah.
It's the best way to handle those kind of situations, you know.
Mike, you know what I told him? You won't want me to tell you what I said after that? Because since I was upstairs watching, I said this.
Snapping his fingers and the music be going some other place. He is living proof. Living proof that white people ain't got no room. Except the
How about that? Living proof, my brother.
Living proof that match. Those two guys
ain't got no rhythm.
Fed me up. I don't have any rhythm with that.
Sorry, man. You guys are talking and you say something and then we go, oh, we're talking about rhythm. And you just pull it up and it's there. Dusty done covered it all, my friend. But, hey, I got to be honest, and this is just me, bro. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut anybody over here. But I knew that match was going to deliver. And again, Mike, which we talk about a lot between myself, you and Lance and stuff like that, before we go on the air or for meeting or whatever, right, about putting somebody together who is a good dance partner. And when we first talked about it, I told Mike, I said, Legacy might be a little bit too much for Rickster or whatever. And then Lance was like, bro, when you it brings you to another level. In other words, it makes you step up your game, and you know you gotta show the people, yeah, man, I'm ready for this. And honestly, I think, you know, he proved himself, man. We put him to the test, and I think he passed with flying colors. Mike, I just got to tell you that, bro. Props to putting that match together.
Well, let me ask you both this question. Would it be wrong if I said we probably need to run that one back and have those two wrestle again?
I mean, if that happens, I'll definitely have to step my cardio up to keep up with these two Tasmanian devils, you know, for better sake of word. But from what the crowd is telling me, maybe it would have to be ran back again, and we'll have to see who really can pull off the 1-2-3, because everyone's telling me that Rixer could have pulled through. Rixer would have, you know, delivered a little more if I had my eyes on the prize. And I did have my eyes on the prize. Like I said, I saw the shoulders down, you know. I counted the 1-2-3, but you know, I only have four pairs of eyes, you know. I can't see everything.
Plus, you're already two matches in, man, and going up and down those stairs and all that stuff, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, dude, I got to give it to you. I wouldn't be able to do it. I said, you know what, man, Mike, I can't, bro. Just running the stairs alone is killing me. So bring in Lance or somebody. Pull somebody from the crowd or something. But, yeah, we knew it was going to deliver, though, bro. I mean, it really did. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So what do you think about that, though, Fabi?
There would be absolutely not one person disappointed if we ran that back. And I could go on record as saying here on the Scoop Slam Radio, two scoops of strawberry cheesecake or whatever, if we booked it, people would pay money to see it. I'm telling you, man. Don't make me find one from Dusty Rhodes and put that out there.
I think if they bring it back, sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I think if they brought it back, it wouldn't be like a duplicate match. It wouldn't be like, oh, they're gonna do the same thing. They've seen each other. They've studied each other before the match, and I'm pretty sure they studied the tape after the match. And they're gonna pick parts out of each other if they do get a chance to bring it back in the way that they know how to evade, scoop, and you know, decimate each other in a different fashion, while still delivering that high-impact, high-speed performance. So, yes, I would love to run it back. I wouldn't be upset with it. I'd get into shape, do a little better cardio if that was the case, because these boys are running up and down and all around the ring.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't like to divulge too much, you know, from, you know, because working in the office and stuff like that. But when it was over, you know, Legacy came up to me and goes, hey, bro, I'm going to be on tour with a different company for about 2-3 weeks, you know, and then I'm going to take a little bit of time off. He said, but I'm damn sure would like to run that back again myself. And I'm like, all right. That match, I only got to see bits and pieces because I knew it was going to deliver and I had this stuff going on. But for him to come back and say, yeah, man, I definitely want to run that back again, that's got to be saying something for both of them, right, Mike?
Yeah, because, you know, since you just mentioned that you only saw bits and pieces, mm-hmm. Lance, you might be able to come in on this too. It seemed like Legacy was wrestling with a chip on his shoulder. He had a little bit of attitude,
yeah,
in that ring. You know, like he was. I don't know if I'm able to say he seemed like he was offended by how Rixey was wrestling, but he had an attitude. You know, he was healed out. You know, and I was just like, hey, this is another side of Legacy I can never see him. What do you think about that, Lance?
Yeah, I definitely felt that in the energy and the atmosphere, you know. He was thinking that Rixer was going to be light work. You know, Legacy's been doing this a lot longer than Rixer. No disrespect to Rixer at all, but, you know, Legacy thought this was going to be an easy payday, and unfortunately it was not. So, it definitely went from ego to frustration to pick up the win and just get out of here, because this guy was giving me a little more work than I anticipated. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, well, they were going at it a little bit in the back. You know, I couldn't because I'm in the office in the dressing room, even though it's right next to it. You know, I could hear a little bit what was going on, and I heard Rick say this.
I put the deep sleep on you, baby. The big sleep, the big chill.
That's what he told him. You want to hear it again? Hold on.
The deep sleep on you, baby. The big sleep, the big chill. I put you to sleep. You know what I mean? I put the deep sleep on you, baby. The big sleep. The big chill.
That's what he said. That's what he said. So I'm like, dude, if you guys want to run it back, I'm totally down.
Put the
big sleep on you. Hey, but dude,
well,
you real quick, you know, to me, I don't know what went wrong or whatever, because that place should have been packed. You know what I'm saying? Because when it was about a week before the show, and I'm talking to Mike, and you know, before he goes, hey, bro, make sure you get Rudo Ram and get him here, because that's why I put my faith in you, and that's why I pay you extra, because we need it. But anyways, so I go, dude, this is a car. Now, I knew Rickster and Legacy was gonna produce, man. I knew it was. But then, and I'll just be honest, when we're going to put Honest John against a guy cool, you know, and he goes, hey, man, you know, Honest John, I've seen him work before, and I think where we did see him was actually at OCCW, because I saw him in Vegas after that or whatever, and I thought, man, I don't know, because they seem like they're too similar. You know what I mean? Two similar types of personalities or whatever that won't work. So I'm telling Mike, I don't know, man. Maybe, you know, maybe you should bring this person. He goes, dude, I'm telling you, I kind of see what we're looking at here. Let me put them two together or whatever. And I'm like, all right, bro. You know, and they're kind of like, okay, if it doesn't work out, I don't have to take the blame for it. But again, it was, I don't know what it was, but it seemed like, or maybe it was like what Lance was saying, that, or Mike, that Legacy had a little bit of chip on his shoulder. But these two, I don't know if they've ever met before, if they've ever wrestled each other before, but the same thing, bro. I thought it was going to be like a clash of two of the same styles, and then, but it was slamming, bro. And I don't know what the hell's going on, but Honest John and Guy Kool were in shape. I don't know if Jane Fonda put something new out or something, but something was going on, because these two dudes were in shape, and they looked like wrestlers. I'm sorry, Mike, I just had to say. I mean, would you agree, or am I just tripping?
No. I totally agree. I was so looking forward to seeing this match, and it delivered everything that I wanted.
Yeah.
I was just happy to have Honest John in the house, and being able to put Guy Kool in there with another, you know, great wrestler, so that he could continue to evolve into who he's going to be. And, you know, and in fact, I have an idea that I might want to put these two together in a tag team.
Yes, I would agree.
What?
Lance, you said what?
I said, oh, what? Put them in a tag team together? What's got you thinking that? These boys are going back and forth. And I just want to know your thought process. You don't mind me asking, man. That sounds like something. That's like an attention guy and a everything's on me guy, and you put them both together, and it's kind of like the same guy, so I can see that. But don't you think it'd be hard to figure out who's leading who? Because they're both so personable. They're both so enigmatic. I don't know. I just see that something destined to fail quick. But tell me what you think about that.
Well, how do you figure it would fail quickly? Because number one, you know,
number
Guy
one,
Kool
they both want to be number one. that's the problem. They both have such not egos, but they're both so self-centered in a way where they want to be the star. They want to be the center of attention. That's why I thought they were fighting out to see who really is, you know, the most entertaining, the most spectacular wrestler out of the two. And I think to put them together, they're going to compete to be number one out of the two. You know, there can only be one Shawn Michaels and one Marty Jannetty, and I would hate to see one be the other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a good point, but you put them together and you allow them to gel and actually bounce things off of each other. I believe they could, you know, they could gel into a very good and exciting tag team.
Well, Mike,
that's just my opinion.
If I can interject real quick, I got a call from Gino Rivera after that show.
Ooh, what?
I believe it was Sunday, the Sunday after the show. And I see my phone, and I'm like, Gino Rivera, what the hell's going on? He's like, hey, bro, I want to be a part of that, dude. I go, dude, but you're coming from Albuquerque. He goes, I will make my way over there, because he goes, I would like a partner. And because he wrestled Guy Cool. Lance, you and I were there. He wrestled Guy Cool at UEW, at the old Metroflex. And I thought it was a pretty good match, bro. I thought they did really well. And Guy Cool came out with some big booty girls, a little high booty babe and stuff like that. And it was a whole show. And they went at it, dude. They went at it. So I guess he got wind of it. And then he heard, well, I'll take them both on. I don't know if he's wrestled Honest John before or whatever. But when somebody who lives in Albuquerque hears about the show and wants to be a part of it, we're pulling the right chains or whatever. Now, when I talk to him, I'm like, bro, well, maybe if you're working a double shot or something like that, you know, because, you know, coming from Albuquerque, yeah, that's plane tickets. And I will drive there, bro. I would, like, dude, this dude is hungry. So regardless of what happened, it generated some heat or whatever to where other people are noticing.
Some interest,
dude, I want to, yeah, I want to be a part of it. So I honestly, if you did put Honest John and Guy Cool together against Gino Rivera and somebody, I honestly do think it would blow the roof off the place. You know, if Legacy is on tour and can't make it, you put Rickster and him together. Ooh, dude, first of all, we'd have to put Lance on some sort of a cardio-based regimen or something, because he's going no stairs or whatever from there or whatever, so that he can handle that, because it's going to be knocked down, drag out. Well, and what do you think about that? What do you think about Guy Cool and Honest John against Gino Rivera and Rickster? Lance, because we saw them wrestle each other, bro. I thought it was pretty good.
Oh, yeah, especially – oh, sorry, jump in.
Let me ask you both this. What would be better, that tag team match or a three-way dance with Guy Cool – versus Honest John versus Gino, I told you so.
A three-way dance?
Oh,
yeah, let's go.
You already?
Yeah.
Let's do the damn thing, man. I haven't had a triple threat on my repertoire yet, so I would love to add a triple threat match into my list, my category of all the wrestling matches I've had. So, yes, let's do that. Gino Rivera, that man is one of the hardest working men I know. Like Bobby said, this man is willing to travel, not only here, but, you know, multiple times I've had the offer of him coming down and doing his damn thing, and I would love to not only see a match with Gino in it, but to watch him wipe the faces off of everybody, because that Puerto Rican pit bull is hungry, and he's going to make a statement.
Yeah, and that's a good idea, three-way dance, and then he can take on both of them, or they can get a piece of them or whatever. I think that would really be good. Mike, man, you over there thinking, man, I'm proud of you. But again, we're coming up on the quarter mark. Let me take another quick break. I'm just going to reset. Just take me 1 second, and then we'll come back and talk about that main event. Hang on.
Sounds drive.
All right.
Look at that. I didn't even have to go that much. But go ahead, Mike. We're back here at Scoop Slam Radio. Let's get to that main event.
Oh, this was supposed to be the main event of the first show, and some scheduling issues had us put it on the back burner, but we finally got it. And it actually did exactly what we wanted it to do, except for the ending. We'll get to the ending in a minute. Fabi, did you get a chance to see this whole match?
I'm sorry, you talking to me? I didn't get you right there. What was that? I muted myself. I'm sorry. Go ahead. The lights here, you have to push a specific button, and I was literally sitting in the dark right there. I'm sorry. Now, this match, I actually got to see the whole thing. Okay, I knew it was going to be hard hitting. I knew that because what it is, you know, you come at Venom, he's going to come right back at you, dude. And they just went at it. I can hear the ring. I thought it was going to break a couple of times because it was so hard hitting or whatever. So I knew that's what it was going to be. You know, to be honest with you, I had no idea Lance had it in him to actually show the cajones to say, remember meeting Vito? And I was like, oh, dude. So I thought it was going to be another Vito thing where I'm a and dude, I'm old, man. I can't make them steps. If they get to fighting and swinging, I ain't got no help. or whatever. So I'm like, Lance, what are you doing, man? Or whatever. Because like, in my mind, I'm thinking, I can't get, first of all, I'm upstairs. There's no way I'm going to get down those stairs in time to go save you. But he did it, man. And it kind of put a spin or whatever on it. But hey, man, I guess that's wrestling, right, Mike?
It is. And, you know, now that we're here again, Lance, what do you have planned for your future? Not refereeing, but are you trying to put something together? Are you trying to build something? What are you trying to do?
I'm trying to do exactly what I did and just get my tit for tat, you know. I tried to be as professional as I could, but as the match progressed and as everything was going on, something inside me was fueling me, you know. It was bubbling, you know. It was that hostility. It was that resentment. It was that those memories of me being publicly embarrassed, you know. And you guys posted that video on YouTube, Facebook, and everything. I got people looking at me, laughing at me like I'm some kind of clown, you know. And at the end of the day, I'm a man. And a man's got to make man choices, you know. And I understand that I still have repercussions coming towards me. I don't know what they may be, but I did what I did, and I don't regret it. I had to stand up for myself, you know. And I understood, you know, Fabi wasn't going to help me. I understood that Rudo Ram was already gassed off from his match. He was already half a six-pack in, you know, so I knew he wasn't going to run down and get me. But you know what? I wasn't afraid of anything like that because I knew that I was doing what was best in my interest. You understand,
see, that's where I don't understand, because, see, you interjected yourself in the most important part of that match, and you just said you had to do what you had to do for your interest. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around what your interest had to do with that main event, other than you doing
my interest
job
was
the referee.
Yeah, and that's where the division happened, between my personal interest and the interest of me being, you know, promoted in this company one day. You know, maybe I did kind of shoot myself in the foot. Maybe I won't move up the corporate ladder as fast as I plan to, but you know what, at the end of the day, like I said, I have no regrets. And if AJ wants to come at me, and if AJ has problems with me, and if AJ wants to address me further, I got three big boys in my pocket that'll smash his ass, excuse my language, smash his candy ass if he ever wants to come up to me again and ever disrespect me, whether we're in the ring or outside the ring. He needed to learn a lesson, and that lesson was humility. He needed to realize that the people that help him can be the same people that could be a detriment to him. So I hope the kids are fine, and if you feel some type of way, you can address me as General Winter is moving forward.
Well, that's
because I'm not going to be in the ring with AJ Mana in this situation of capacity again. He may try to have me in the ring again, and he may try to shoot on me, but it's not going to happen, buddy.
That's what people don't understand. I got a call. I don't know why everybody calls me, honestly, dude, because I think they don't want to call Mike or whatever, so they call me. So I get a call by somebody who shall remain nameless, but when I saw the number on the on the phone, I'm like, dude, I don't need no wrestling boots or whatever. And it's like, hey, man, what's going on over there? What do you mean? You know, I hear AJ wants to get Lance and, you know, blah, 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 whatever. So this certain person is got a match with him coming up soon. And he was willing to I don't know what the word is, Lance, risk that championship mask, that championship match to go after him, because he's like, hey, man, that's – you know, people don't understand. Lance takes care of us. You know, he gets a lot of work done for us. And, you know, I don't have to worry. All I have to worry about is wrestling. And I'm like, dude, that was totally on Lance, man. I go, he had to prove himself or whatever. He's like, all right, man, cool. I just want to know what was going on or whatever. So, again, generated a lot of heat, and people want to know what's going on. So I think just with that alone, people are going to want to see what's going to happen at the next show or whatever. So and the only thing I can say out of there is, Lance, honestly, dude, I didn't think you had it in you, and you surprised me and got my respect as far as, like, you didn't back down, bro. You might be dead. We might need to get a funeral sponsorship or something, but you did what you had to do. I just got to tell you that.
Thank you, and I appreciate that someone respects and understands what it's like to be a man and step up in tough situations. I was stuck between a rock and a hard place. I was stuck between being a professional and being a man, and I do not regret that I stepped on the side of being a man and defending myself and stepping up for what I believe was right, which was my personal retribution. I was never going to get another opportunity at AJ like that again. Like I said, I'm not a fighter. I'm not a wrestler. I'm not going to shoot and beat him up and hit him over the head with a chair. No. But what I can do is get my one-up-ins back on him. What I can do is screw him out of that world heavyweight opportunity. So that's exactly what I did.
So what happens
now, Mike?
I'm not going
to back down. I'm not going to live in fear. Tell me what's going to happen, Mike. I've been waiting for 2 weeks now to hear what's going to happen to me. What's my punishment? What are you going to do? What can you do? Well, it's not what you can do. Let me take a step back.
Because I'm trying to figure out what we're talking about right now. Lance, I had a whole week working in Las Vegas to put this, to try to put things in perspective and trying to figure out what you're trying to do. See, I think that you are trying to build yourself a family and try to build yourself something like a first family. I think you're trying to put yourself in a position to become a manager in this company. And by doing what you did, kind of sort of got Venom leaning on your side. And you say you already got three other guys. So, again, I ask again, what are you trying to build here? Because I see your wheels are moving in a fast direction, and you are, if you didn't know, you got a bullseye on your back, you got a target on your back, and one NJ Mott is coming after you. So you have to put people around you to protect you from him beating your ass. So what are you trying to do?
And what I'm trying to do, Mr. Parks, what I'm trying to do is the same thing I've been doing for the last 5 years now, building connections. With these connections, I can gain higher access to more abilities in the ring, more abilities in the business, more. Right now, I have so many doors in front of me now. I can walk through this door. I can walk through that door. But as long as I have a connection, a steady connection of people that are by my side, that are willing to protect, not from an ass whooping, but from the wild, angry, headbutting Samoans, I have to build myself a connection of family members, people that I can rely on, people that I don't have to look my back and make sure no one's coming after me, because I already got somebody looking at my back, someone looking from my left, someone looking from my right, and someone right in front of me. That's what I'm working for here at PWA. I understand, like I said, I had to make a choice. Was I going to be an official, or was I going to be a man and stand up for myself? And I chose the latter. I chose to stand up for myself, and I know I have people in my corner. I have the Diabolical Mischief and Mayhem. I had Venom, the Nuclear Guerrero, on my side. We were family. We were at Two Meat and Vinos together. We were eating tacos together. We had a bond stronger than this hot-headed Samoan who I try to interview and splash water on my face. If you played his cards right, it could have been the other way around. AJ Mana could have been in my corner. AJ Mana could have been in my pocket. But he decided to disrespect me all because I wanted to sit down and have an interview with him. He decided to not be in my side of the corner.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that because they, you know, Guerrero, Nuclear, and Lance had a little bit of a, I don't want to say bond because that just sounds dumb, but they, you know, I forgot about that. You know, they had the taco ratings or whatever at Meat and Vino or whatever. So they were, you know, people don't understand the stuff that goes on behind the scenes and stuff like that. But anyways, hey, Mike, honestly, it just goes to show that it builds a lot of interest to see what's going to happen for the next show. Now, I was able to meet with Mike and them, and we talked a little bit about, you know, the future of Pacific Wrestling Alliance. And also, I think, Mike, what all this did was lead to something that people are going to come and go do. This is really going to be something for the next show. So, I mean, we talked a little bit about it, Mike. So is that what we're building towards now is the next show, and we're going to, you know, start to put the pen to paper and figure it out?
Yeah, because, you know, we're gonna take a month off and come back in October. Uh-huh. We're gonna revamp. We're gonna fix things up, and come back bigger and better.
Mm-hmm.
I, Lance, I do have to say this, and it's just CYA. I'm protecting myself from you. As of right now, you are banned from refereeing main event matches for PWS indefinitely.
No.
Until you show that you could be trusted, because I trusted you. And you threw my trust away by doing what you did. Now, you have a choice to make. Either referee, or you're going to man up and you're going to build this first family, so to say, and show people the other side of Lance DeBoy, the one that came out after that main event, the one that was amped up and on fire after what he did. Because it seemed you enjoyed what you did. You were
very happy with what you did. Can't blame him.
I can't, and I won't. So
mm-hmm.
you need to figure it out. What you really want to do?
Yep.
How you really want to go about this? Go ahead,
Mike. Can I take another quick break, and then we'll come back and do some news, because I gotta set a couple things up here real quick.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on, everybody. We'll be right back after this. Come back when Lance can do some news. It sucks because we haven't heard from clams187@AOL.com since that first show or whatever. But I don't know, because you know what? I have my notes and stuff from when I was working with you guys or whatever. And I think Rudo Ram was on that show, because he's been talking about that ever since. So I don't know if you're done, Mike, or whatever, but if you are, let's have Lance do some news, because I know he's got a couple. Well, first of all, Lance, I don't know. Because I had something going on Sunday, but I heard that AEW pay-per-view was off the charts. I didn't get to see one match. I haven't even been able to see anything on the internet. I was mostly interested in Samoa Joe and CM Punk, but I only saw some small clips or whatever. I'm sorry, I know you got news, but did you check that out, or am I missing anything?
Oh, yeah. It was definitely an amazing – like, I saw clips. I didn't get to watch the whole show. But that's the match that I did want to see, because – these guys have so much history. They're both in ROH together. You know, they have that that repertoire between each other. And the crowd, it was an even split for Punk and for Joe. You know, so that's when you can tell things are going to be a good one, when it's not all one sided and whatnot. These guys were hard hitting hams. That's what they were throwing, hard hitting hams.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we can talk about the highlights and all that, but we could also talk about all this negative press CM Punk is bringing onto the company. He's kind of territory.
Yeah, is that a
shoot?
Oh,
yeah.
What happened?
So apparently Jungle Boy Jack Perry and CM Punk went to blows over, you know, you don't tell me what to do, you're not my daddy type business, because a couple weeks ago, Jack Perry had a spot where he was going to use real glass for his match, you know. He wanted to go all out, as they say, you know. And CM Punk's like, no, we don't need all that. So Perry had his match up against Hook for the FTW Championship, and one of those spots had him going through real glass. And on camera, live in front of the, you know, the biggest audience they've ever had, Perry says, "This is real glass, you know, another way to call a cat a kitten," you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that went live. That was right there on the broadcast. afterwards, you know, in Gorilla, where Punk was, he walked up to him, and they were like, what, you got a problem with what I did, body, body, blah, and, you know, there was a little push, a little shove, a little headlock here and there, and they were pulled apart. And now it's to the point where it's suspected. It's not confirmed. We'll find out tomorrow on AEW, but it's suspected that they're both going to be suspended, and they won't be at next week's show All In. With this being said, I was following Booker T's podcast because Booker T's one of the guys I look up to, you know, when I'm watching media and stuff, and he's telling me that the way Punk's acting, he's losing a lot of respect in the locker room fast with these newer kids, and I don't know if you guys knew anything about that or not, but my personal opinion, I think Punk is trying to Hulk Hogan himself a little too hard.
But, Mike, let me ask you this. Do you think, because Jungle Jack Perry, okay, he's got a little bit of a following or whatever. I wouldn't say he's top dog or whatever. But to me, it seems like he might want to start something with Punk because it's like being in jail. You knock out the biggest dude in the prison, you're going to be the man. So that might be happening. You know what? If I'm going to pick a fight, I'm going to pick a fight with CM Punk so I can make a name for myself. Mike, am I tripping or what do you think?
Well, no, you're not tripping, but I have one question to ask, and it's an honest question for the both of you. Could Punk have said to him, hey, you know, you don't need to use that real glass on a way to stop him from getting injured and not having to go through that? Because I'm puzzled. Because, you know, that's an old school guy telling the youngster, you don't need all that. You know,
but it wasn't like a suggestion. But it wasn't a suggestion. It was like a veto. V-E-T-O, not V-I-T-O, you know. But a veto, like, no, you're not going to use this. This is not how you're going to be on my Saturday show. Because, you know, Punk show is a Saturday night show. That's where he makes all the rules. Like I said, he's the booker practically when it comes to the collision shows. And,
that decision? What kind of shift? Yeah. Where's Tony
His
Khan?
His best friend, Tony Khan. Tony Khan is like the mark man, you know. Big old mark that lets CM Punk run wild. So things like
that. No wonder they're all messed up.
You know, got him
que la chingada.
Yes. Yeah, so I like to watch the wrestling, but I like the backstage stuff too. You know, it's always good to see how people act when the cameras are off. And I guess Punk was trying to make executive decisions over Jungle Jack, a young man's career. And I think it's Jungle Jack's career to do what he
Mike,
wants.
How many times have we been through this? And I think Lance has been with us before too. You cannot let the inmates run the asylum. You just can't. You can take their advice. Because a lot of the wrestlers know what they want to do and what will work or whatever. But you can't say, okay, Punk, you can go ahead and tell these guys. No, that is the dumbest thing ever.
Right.
Because regardless of what you say about WWE, you got to go through Vince. And even when Triple H was there or whatever, you still got to go through Vince or whatever. So I don't know what the heck. Lance, sorry, bro. I think AEW is shooting themselves in the foot. I think sooner or later it's gonna crumble just like WCW. It's already there. They're doing stupid squash matches and stuff like that, and I used to look forward to Wednesday, and now I'm gonna put it right here. Right, I'm sorry, Mike. I know it's on your show, but AEW absolutely suck. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lance.
And yeah, so like
I can hear you crying in the background, Mike.
I was listening to his podcast, Booker T's podcast, and he was saying, you know, you don't just earn respect from the younger guys by telling them what to do. You earn the respect by earning the respect, you know?
Yeah,
so with CM Punk just calling shots like he's Tony Khan, that's definitely a hindrance to AEW and the progress forward. You know, it's like Bobby was saying, it's one thing to suggest maybe you don't do this, maybe you don't do that, but it's another to completely shoot someone's angle and kill whatever they were going for because they're younger cats. It's a new generation. It's new. Like, who knows what they were planning on doing, you know what I mean? But it never got to happen. We never got to see it. So Booker was just saying that even when he went to TNA for the first time after his WWE run, he had to earn the respect from the TNA wrestlers like AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. He didn't just walk in saying, I'm King Booker. Listen to me. You know
yeah, right.
So,
that makes sense.
I can kind of see where he's getting at.
I get that, too. But my thing is, you know, what are you using real glass for?
Mm-hmm.
What are you trying to legitimize?
Well, I guess it just,
there's a lot of people who claim that wrestling's fake, and I don't believe it. You know, anyone tells me wrestling's fake, I hit them with a pile driver and see if they can get up. But, you know, maybe they're trying to bring back the legitimacy of this fight, that this beef between Hook and Jungle Jack Perry. You know, they're best friends, and now things have escalated where they're not best friends, and you might need to really put someone through some real glass to really show them that I'm not playing with you. You know what I'm saying? Okay. It's like when you hit someone over the head with a real chair unprotected, that's because you really don't like that person. You know what I'm saying? And who knows what the kids are up to? We'll never know. We'll never know what that spot was. I don't know if it was a glass pane. I don't know if it was, you know, like if they're going through a building, not building, but you know what I mean, like a car or something. We'll never know the spot. But we do know is that last Saturday when he had his fight with Hook, Hook put him through a car glass, and it was real, on the windshield. And called him a punk, said, "This is real glass to you, another word for a cat." And that's when the heat started, as soon as they got backstage, because Jungle Jack wanted to do what he wanted to do, and he couldn't do it on the TV show, so he had to do it on the big stage. And just like me, you know, if you're gonna deny me something, I'm going to find a way to do it, and I'm going to capitalize on it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're all talking about it now. Well, so he did something right.
Well, I mean, from what I was reading, all it got him was it got him choked out.
Because
CM Punk choked him out.
Oh, is that right?
CM Punk is just like a Samoan that I know. CM Punk is just like a Samoan that I know. That if you say just a couple of hit words, phrases, you go from a man to a savage. Mm-hmm. And that's what Punk had to resort to, being an animal. If I tell you this is how I wanted to do it, this is what I'm doing to my body through you, and then you go put me in a headlock, how's that make you any better of a man than me?
No,
you know what I'm saying?
That
just shows complete unprofessionalism on Punk's part.
And yeah, and that's a good point, because I don't think CM Punk would run up on Billy Gunn or something. Hey, man, you ain't doing that. Or Billy Gunn, well, man, get your ass out of here. You know what I mean? So I think they know who to pick on or not or whatever.
When Tony Khan's got your back, or when you feel like Tony Khan, you know, is in your pocket, like I said, I feel like CM Punk's got a little extra, like, oh, I can do whatever I want.
Man, that should never happen. That's ridiculous. That should never happen. But real quick, I will run up against the clock. Sorry. But I just want to ask something to Lance. I don't know if you got something else to go to, but I had to get this in. Because I do 4 podcasts total, and I do another one with Lance. And we're constantly talking about, I'm saying, like, please, God, let Tozawa go. He's so talented, and they're using him as enhancement talent or whatever. And the second one was Chad Gable. I'm like, God, I feel so bad for him because they're so talented, and they're so good, but they use them as props and stuff like that. So I don't know what happened. I don't know if Lance has the pull or whatever, but they're finally starting to give Chad Gable some matches. I don't know if they're going to let him go over on Gunther or whatever, which I certainly think they do, because that's the ultimate underdog story, and I think the place will go nuts if he does. But they move Tozawa and Butch back to NXT, and I think that is a good move, man. I think Tozawa is going to shine like he should, and it kind of seems like things are coming to fruition. So, Lance, I got to tell you, man, we talked about that a lot, man. What's the word I'm looking for? The sun has come out, and we're going to see a brighter day. I mean, would you agree?
Yeah, I'm glad that you're getting your AEW fanboy feelings out of your head, and you can finally realize that the better brand is WWE. We fight about this all the time on our other podcasts, but WWE has always had something in plan. WWE is always 10 steps ahead, and they're a lot more professional how they handle business. We were talking about it a couple weeks ago. I wish Chad Gable got a spot. I wish Chad Gable was used more. Guess what? He's in a rivalry with Gunther. He actually beat Gunther, not for the belt. It was via disqualification, but via 10 count, you know.
Count out.
Sorry, you know, my terminology is a little backwards today. I'm a little hot-headed still. But you know what? He's being used, just like how you say Butch is being used. Pete Dunne was amazing in NXT in his first run in NXT and NXT UK. So having him back and doing his business, that's going to be good for the whole company. You know, it's going to make everyone hungrier to see, oh, if you're not putting up, you can go right back down to the bottom and start over again, and vice versa. If you're down at NXT, now there's a spot open that makes the jump to WWE. So I'm very excited to see the future of these three gentlemen in particular, you know, Chad Gable, Pete Dunne, who I call Pete Dunne. I know he's Butch, but mm-hmm. and Akira Tozawa, you know, we just have to tune in, and I hope you guys don't do that backseat booking where you're like, oh, I'm glad to hear him here, and then next he's like, oh, I hate him, he's jobbing out. Because like I said, jobbing is one of the most important parts of the business. That's putting somebody over. That's making them look good and keeping them safe, most importantly.
And it seems like they've done it right. I mean, because regardless of what they were doing with them, Chad Gable didn't go home and smoke cigarettes and eat donuts. That dude stayed in shape. He kept working. And same with Tozawa. That dude's never been out of shape. And when they're ready to call on him, he's good to go. So smart move on their part. You know what I mean? They didn't blow up to 300 pounds and say, well, F it, I'll just take a paycheck and go home. They actually worked for it. So I'm glad to see. Hey, I can talk all the smack I want about WWE and everything, but, you know, that's why everybody's in line. You know, that's the end all to be all. And I have yet to go to a show where it's not been packed. A house show, a Raw, or whatever. And there is kids, and everybody's wearing John Cena headbands and stuff like this. So they must be doing something right or whatever. But sorry,
well,
Les, but I had to get that in because I'm so happy.
I don't think going down to NXT is a demotion.
Neither
I always thought NXT. I always thought NXT was a better brand.
Used to be.
Used to be. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing now, but
yeah.
NXT.
I think NXT is still popping, and I didn't mean it as a demotion. I just meant cards are shuffling around. You know, so
yeah.
You got people like Tozawa and Butch going down. You don't know who's coming up, and I don't mean down as a downgrade. I mean they're coming down to Orlando for their shows
yeah,
instead of where they're traveling
NXT.
Weekly.
Yeah,
that's
but,
all
but
I meant.
Well, you know. I wonder if Pete Dunne to come back is Pete Dunne because there's so many guys that are down at NXT from NXT UK
mm-hmm.
that he used to battle with, like Joe Gacy. If I got his last name wrong, I apologize. But
and Tyler Bateman.
Oh man, all of them are there. All of them are there. And so, I mean, they could get back to how they used to be when Neville and them were in NXT.
Yep.
And you wanted to watch NXT
yep.
every Tuesday night. I think
yeah.
I think they're onto something. I really
yeah.
do. I think they're onto something.
I'm actually starting to look forward to it now. Go ahead.
And even if he stays as Butch, you know, that still gives a brand new opportunity to run back these old matches in a different style, you know, because now you're
yeah.
not fighting the
yeah.
bruiserweight Pete Dunne. You're fighting one of the boys, you know what I mean? Butch, his whole character with Sheamus. And I forget the other guy. I remember him as the guy who broke Biggie's neck, but I try not to think about that too much. But you know what I mean? Now that he's Butch,
yeah.
he can run back these matches with Joe Gacy. He can run back these matches with Tyler, and it'll be fresh. It wouldn't be, you know.
Yeah.
rekindling a flame, but you
right,
know, starting
right.
a new one. So I think it'd be really cool. I just have
yeah.
two more things in the news real quick, and then
go
I'm
for
done
it.
For the night. But
go for it.
Ladies and gentlemen, today, Mortal Kombat 1 released their first official trailer. I know Mortal Kombat's not wrestling, but what makes it interesting is Dave Bautista was the actor that was, you know, setting up. So if you guys got a chance, check it out, Mortal Kombat 1. Bautista was there talking about fatalities and stuff. They don't have him as a character or nothing yet, but he was on the commercial, and I had a big pop for that when I saw that randomly today while I was at work, you know, just going through YouTube, watching some videos, you know. So I think it's really cool when mutual interests align, you know, wrestling and video games to me. But that's enough about that. My other news is to Michael Parks. Just want to take a serious
yes.
moment. I understand what I did was unprofessional, and the way I conducted that main event wasn't how you wanted it to be. So I just want, I haven't said it yet, you know, but I'm sorry that I kind of threw a wrench in your plans. But to reinforce myself, I'm not sorry for what I did. I'm just sorry that I had to misuse your trust. I'm sorry I used you in a way. But I don't take back what I did, and I wouldn't apologize to AJ's face. But as a man, I'll apologize to you for giving me this opportunity. And like I said, I might have used your trust and bent your arm and got what I wanted. So I really hope you take this apology sincerely because there won't be another one. Because moving forward, I'm not making any mistakes. Moving forward, I'm doing whatever I want. I knew
yeah.
I wasn't going to get fired tonight. You know I'm under contract with PWA. So I know I may not be refereeing main events anymore. heck, I may not be refereeing anymore for you indefinitely, but I know I'm still going to be here. And moving forward, I'll do the best, which is my best, which is, you know, subjective. I'll do my best to do things down the line, through the middle, and show you why I deserve to move on up in the corporate ladder. How's that sound? Do you accept my humble apology?
Well, considering you just told me either accept it or not, because you're not going to give another one. I mean, I don't know. I'll just say we'll leave it with how I left it. You still got to prove yourself. You still got to show what it is that you really plan on doing. There's no more hiding behind anything. If you're gonna build a family, be man enough to come out and do it. Don't hide behind stuff. If that's what your plan is to do, then do it. But
well,
don't use me. Don't use Rudo Ram. Don't use anybody else.
Yeah. You know where
scapegoat.
You know where Lance is? Do you know where he is? He's here.
The danger zone. The danger zone. The danger zone.
He's in the danger zone. That's what I'm talking about, brother. But hey, we're running up against the clock. I mean, I'm not gonna be here for a while, because the Rams coming back, but I saw the whole thing or whatever, and it's kind of the same. We talk about Jack Perry and all them. Hey, man, we're talking about Lance now. AJ's talking about Lance. Vin was talking about Lance. People are calling me asking about it or whatever. So for whatever happened, it's generating some hype, and people want to know what's going to happen. They all say he's probably going to die, but, I mean, you know, at least he stood up for himself or whatever. I mean, that's just what they're saying. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to email clams187@aol.com and see if I can get the perspective from that person, and then we'll talk about that, or I'll give the information to Rulo Ram. What do you think?
Sounds good.
I could deal with that. I could deal with that. Now,
all right.
I'm going to end it. I'm going to end
it. Get us
with
out
this.
Of here, Mike.
I'm going to end
Go
it
ahead.
With this. Lance, you might have bitten off more than you can chew, and you're going to have to deal with the consequences. You're going to have to face AJ Mano sometime. I don't know where. I don't know when. But sometime, you have to pay the piper for what you did. And ain't nobody going to be able to save your ass when that day comes. So continue to do what you do, but no, look over your shoulder, because I have a feeling that the Samoan shooter is not done with you yet. He might not get you tomorrow. He might not get you next month, but he is going to get you. So if your plans are to build a family, you best build one that can really fight, because if not, he's going to kick your teeth in, brother. And on that note, we're going to say goodnight. So, Lance, say your piece.
Catch me on Bully Zone. Catch me on Bully Zone Live. I'm going to go on IG right now. I'm going live. So catch me after this podcast, because I still got more to say. But, you know, I respect the time frame we're in right now. Thank you, Michael Parks, for having me out here. Thank you for giving me the tongue lashing that I deserve. I'm definitely going to take it to heart. And we'll see how strong my family of B-Star.
And good luck to the both of you, because you got Rudo Ram next week. So good luck to the both of you.
Hey, Fabi, well, we appreciate you sitting in this week, bro. And it's been a stone cold blast. And you and Big Dusty over there in your back pocket. And
I'm gonna keep
come back.
I'm gonna keep working on that.
Come back and visit us whenever you can, bro. So on behalf of myself, Big Mike, Lance the Bully, and Fabi Chulo. Folks, we'll catch you next week here on Scoop Slam Radio. Good night.
And we'll end it with this. Lance, what you going to do when the wild out hookster runs wild on you?